Ready to go?
I guess, yeah.
Fair enough. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Survival, resilience, redemption. Not just three things that can be used to describe my co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
That's all me.
There he is. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Survival, resilience, redemption are words that I use to describe Dave all the time. They're also a tagline in this week's tagline contest. If you think you know what movie those three words come from, you can send your guest to us in one of the three following ways. You can email your guest to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guest on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guest to us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, we will float a prize package your way. This week, Alicia Vikander swings into theaters with her rendition of Tomb Raider. And I think when you mention the character of Lara Croft, possibly even before the game comes to mind, Angelina Jolie does. She was the first one to really bring that character to the big screen.
And the second. There was a sequel to that I always forget that there
were
two
Tomb
Raider
movies. Did both. She was in both of those. But I would say one of the more successful franchises based on a video game.
I mean, it got two.
Yeah, that's true.
That's telling.
It's more than
right
we can say for Dwayne Johnson's Doom. But I think a lot of people may not even realize that Tomb Raider was a game. I just think it's an Angelina Jolie movie, and maybe that's a credit to her as an actress. But a name as big as hers, we had not done an Angelina Jolie list, and we thought, she's not in this movie. She has nothing to do with it, but why the hell not? If not today, when? So we are going to run down our five favorite Angelina Jolie movies. And to be honest with you, there are some episodes we do where I think we learn an awful lot about how we feel about a particular actor or actress. And I really had no opinion of Angelina Jolie before we recorded today. And as it turns out, I like some of her movies, but a lot of them I do not care for.
I think a lot of her movies are...
And I don't think it's her fault.
No, I think a lot of her movies are... They're okay. They're watchable. I feel like a lot of them are like, yeah, if they're on, like, and I've never seen it, I'll watch The Changeling. Like, whatever. She's good in what she's in. But I don't really love any Jolie movies. I like a couple more than others. Like, my top couple I like a lot. And the others I've seen and I enjoyed enough. I had one also ran, which could fall into that same category. Her movies, for the most part, yeah, they're okay. I don't hate Angelina Jolie. I don't rush out to see Angelina Jolie. So
I think that's fair. Usually when we do these lists, we might have a tough time trying to get like a fifth. But by the time we get to our ones and twos, it's movies we really, really like. I really do like my number one, and it's a movie I don't think I've ever talked about on this podcast before, so I'm kind of pumped to bring it up.
I like my number one. Most people hate it. It's widely known as like one of the worst movies ever.
Ooh.
But I have like a soft spot for it, and I love it. So I can't wait to talk about that because I also don't think I've ever talked about it. My number two, I think I tried to shoehorn in somewhere, but I'm excited to talk about that as
well. Sword and Sandal movies?
Yeah.
Dave, why don't you talk about your number five? Let's work our way slowly to the ones we do like.
My number five is one of her wider releases. She played second fiddle to a quadriplegic Denzel Washington in 1999's The Bone Collector. It's just Denzel in a wheelchair and Angelina Jolie trying to hunt down a serial killer. That's it. It's that movie. It's two cops hunting down a serial killer movie. But the thing that separates this is Denzel and Angelina Jolie. It's the same kind of thing where if it starred two other actors, it's nothing special. I remember one scene with trying to save the kid from the water. Like, that was really powerful. There's good moments in it. I saw this once at the cheap theater in 1999, and my memory of it isn't the greatest, but I remember watching it thinking, like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, this movie was much higher on my list. I'll make it my number five just because it doesn't really matter. There were a ton of psychological thrillers in the mid to late 90s. If you go back even as far as, like, 91 with Silence of the Lambs, Then he had seven.
I think that kind of kicked off.
Yeah, and it wasn't the first.
Because there was like, but I mean that, like, right. You had Extreme Measures, Desperate Measures, like a couple Michael Keaton ones. Like there was a bunch.
8mm, which came out the same year as Bone Collector. There's just a ton of them. I think you're right. The plot of Bone Collector isn't as innovative as the others, save for the fact that it takes that psychological thriller genre and puts in the added spice of a paralyzed, bedridden detective. But what I did like about it, it takes our two main characters, our two detectives, and it splits them up basically from the beginning. Angelina Jolie is just a beat cop, and she's following the directions of Denzel's character to search for this serial killer, ostensibly on her own. So, you know, we have her basically in a one-on-one situation following this killer. So she's in a good amount of danger. And then kind of towards the end of the movie, when we find out that, oh, guess what? The guy that can't move any of his limbs is going to be in trouble. Serial killer is going to come after him. Who saw that coming? Then that kind of subverts that a little bit. I really liked the supporting cast in this. I thought Queen Latifah was really good as the nurse's aide.
Rooker.
Michael Rooker, Luis Guzman, Ed O'Neill. I mean, it's got really solid supporting cast. And it's a movie that, as far as Angelina Jolie movies go, like, she's pretty good in it. I think it's a good example of those kind of movies from that point in time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a Denzel movie, but she kind of has to carry it because he can't do any heavy lifting.
Right.
And I mean, it kind of paved the way for, like, Saw, because it was, the serial killer was a little more sadistic and did some more
collecting some bones.
Yeah. You had the suicidal angle where Denzel's going to kill himself.
Right.
It's just Kevorkian style. And then, oh, got this murder to solve. Let's get the girl whose dad killed himself. How high was it up your list?
It was two.
Two?
I mean, whatever.
I really stole that thunder.
My three can be my two. It's fine.
My number four, it's another one of those that falls into this category. It's a thriller, crime-related thriller in the mid to late 90s. It is from 97, starring Dave Duchovny, Timothy Hutton, and Angelina Jolie. It is Playing God. It's Duchovny is a surgeon who loses his job and then ends up working for the mob and the underground as like a mob doctor, pretty much. And that's it. That's the plot. Like that's he gets in with some bad people and bad things happen and Angelina Jolie's there. And that's the plot of the movie. Like it's that kind of movie. It's another one of those where I'm a Duchovny fan. It's very much a Duchovny movie. And I don't think we had a lot of Duchovny movies. The Duchovny movies I like, I really, really like. I feel like we never got enough Duchovny movies. So if I could get the chance to put one on the list, I'm doing it. Because I love Duchovny as a movie star. I want to turn this into a top five Duchovny movies. Evolution, TV Set, this.
California
two others.
With a K?
Yeah, that one would count.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a fifth one.
Yeah, one of the X-Files ones, to be named later.
The first one.
My number four is a movie that I had known about and just had no interest in watching it. It was on, I think, like the Sci-Fi Channel one day or whatever, and Sarah tends to like Disney kind of movies. So we watched Maleficent from 2014, directed by Robert Stonberg, starring Angelina Jolie, Elle Fanning, and Charlton Copley. I really can't say why, but this movie always struck me as Angelina Jolie at like the peak of her powers, deciding that she wanted to play this character and pretty much willing the movie into existence. I'm not sure that's exactly how it went down, but really over the past 6 or 7 years, if you look at actresses that have pulled similar stuff, Julia Roberts took a swing at the Evil Queen in Mirror Mirror.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron did the Huntsman movies. So you had big-time Academy Award-winning actresses playing evil witches. In each of those movies, I think the story more centered around the evil characters than did the cartoon versions of Snow White or Sleeping Beauty, or the first several times those movies were made. Of those, I actually thought Maleficent was kind of the best. Stonberg manages to make the character not completely evil, and Jolie plays her with almost like this begrudging goodness. And at the very least, Elle Fanning is absolutely wonderful to be a Disney princess. She's going to do much bigger and is doing much bigger stuff than that now. But like, I think this was her at a right age to play this role. And I think she was really good.
Yeah, I feel like this is Angelina Jolie's Johnny Depp movie. Like,
yeah.
It feels like her doing Johnny Depp, but doing it better than Johnny Depp does. Where it's like, here's this character that I can let loose, that fits my personality, but it worked. The world building was good. I just feel like it kind of came at a time when you had Huntsman, you had Oz, you had Jack the Giant Slayer, where all these like world building movies were kind of fatigued by
retellings
of
stuff we already know.
Yeah, this one, it's worth a watch. Like, it's solid. You have kids or you like Angelina Jolie and Elle Fanning, it's worth a watch. My number three, from 2007, based on a book that I like, it is Beowulf, directed by Robert Zemeckis, off a script by Neil Gaiman, who I love, and Roger Avery. It's that motion capture one starring Ray Winstone as Beowulf, where everybody else is in like motion capture of themselves and he's just ripped and cut, but it's still Ray Winstone. Anthony Hopkins, Robin Wright, Angelina Jolie shows up as the naked golden lady.
Grendel's mom.
Yeah, it's a cool movie. There's been so many Beowulf movies, it's almost impossible to make.
It's a pretty old story.
Yeah, this is the closest I've seen to it being good. And not a perfect movie. It's not great. It maybe kicked off that Zemeckis, like, oh, I don't want to film people anymore.
Polar Express.
That he went on for a bit. But it's really, really good. And yeah, she's not in it a ton, but she's very memorable in it. She's very, very, very good, very evil in it. And I like the movie. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure. I don't know. I enjoy it.
It's all right.
Yeah. Gold Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, even if it's just a CGI version, a really creepy, lifelike version of that, hey, that's fine. My number three is a fair amount of action in Beowulf. There's a fair amount of action in my number three. It's Doug Liman's Mr. and Mrs. Smith from 2005, starring Brad Pitt, Jolie, Adam Brody. Doug Liman's a fantastic action director. About a decade before he made The Edge of Tomorrow, Bourne Identity was already a huge hit. And pairing him with Laura Croft, I think, was always going to work out well. Turns out the chemistry between the actors really kind of helped, and that was sort of legit. Sometimes that makes a good movie.
Jennifer Aniston's least favorite movie.
I don't know. Are they getting back together? Because maybe it doesn't matter now. Whatever. Sometimes that chemistry does make for a good movie like it did here. Sometimes it makes for a shitty movie like Jennifer Garner's Daredevil. That was god awful. Not even her making a terrible decision with Ben Affleck was able to save that movie. As good as the leads were and as great as the action was, Vince Vaughn's Eddie absolutely adds more than his share of comic relief in this movie. It's a fun premise, I think, that turned into a good movie. And I mentioned catching Maleficent on the Sci-Fi Channel one day. This is a great Saturday, Sunday afternoon cable movie.
I feel like a lot of the same stuff can be said about this as Bone Collector. If this movie stars Katherine Heigl and Jai Courtney, it's terrible. It's an awful movie. But you have Jolie and Pitt, who are really, really good. Brody, I thought, was great. Yeah. I love Adam Brody as just show up and steal every scene you're in kind of guy. And then Vince Vaughn is great. This is kind of on the cusp of Vince Vaughn like becoming that massive movie star. It sums up everything. It's watchable. Movies like this are a dime a dozen. This is one of the more memorable ones, which is what she's good at. That's a constant theme.
She makes commercial movies. Yeah. This is a commercial movie and one that a lot of people enjoy.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a hit and I'm not taking anything away from it. Sure. It's not really my style, but it's watchable of that stuff. My number two, it's a deep cut, going back to 1998, written and directed by Willard Carroll. It's Playing by Heart. I'm a sucker for this movie. I don't know why. It's Gillian Anderson, Sean Connery, Gina Rowlands, Patricia Clarkson, Dennis Quaid, Angelina Jolie, Ryan Phillippe, which is why I watched it, and Jon Stewart. It's just 11 different people. It's different love stories. Angelina Jolie's subplot is her and Ryan Phillippe, which, sign me up. I'm into that.
Let's be handsome children.
Yeah. Jon Stewart and Gillian Anderson. It's a love movie. Like, it's just a romantic movie about all these different couples. You have Sean Connery and Gina Rowlands near the end of their lives together. And then all these new romances and everything coming together. It's all these different stories that kind of come together at the end. Phillippe and Jolie's storyline is very compelling. I enjoy both of them. One is a really good actor, and the other is Ryan Phillippe, who I adore for some reason.
He's got his moments.
This is good.
He gets
Ryan
a lot
Phillippe
of shit.
Too.
Way of the Gun. That episode's
coming.
Oh,
I love Way of the Gun.
But yeah,
that's one.
MacGruber.
Yeah, he's great. I love Ryan Phillippe. I do, but he has the stigma about him for some reason. But
I don't know.
When he's on, he's really, really on. He'd be a better Iron Fist than
Finn
Jones.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like
that's
playing
the same hairstyle.
Yeah. I think he was in talks, but I think he was a little old. But yeah, I like playing by heart.
I think this has got to be worth some kind of like Movies on Up bingo where you manage to get a Gillian Anderson and a Dave Duchovny movie on the same list. And it wasn't The X-Files. Yeah. My number two does not star either of those two actors. But I don't want to say it's a deep cut because it's not. But before Angelina Jolie made a bunch of commercial movies, she made some indie movies too. And one of them turned out to be pretty good, directed by a guy who probably should have been nominated for Best Director this past year, a couple weeks ago at the Oscars. That's James Mangold. Before he was directing Wolverine movies, he directed Girl Interrupted from 1999, starring Winona Ryder, Angelina Jolie, and Clea DuVall.
She got an Oscar for this, didn't she?
She did, yeah. Yes. So that's kind of why it's on this list. Aside from me actually liking the movie. But Jesus, this cast was good. You mentioned that Angelina did win the Oscar for her dangerously out-of-balance Lisa, but apart from the people that I already mentioned, you had Brittany Murphy, Angela Bettis, who I love from the horror scene, Elizabeth Moss before she was Peggy Olson, each of them in the Nut House. Jared Leto, future Academy Award winner, shows up as Winona Ryder's ex-boyfriend. Whoopi Goldberg in there as the head nurse. She's wonderful as well. And this was, I think, Mangold's third movie. But even then, like, his ability and talent to get great performances out of his cast is evident. While his screenplay was not necessarily loved by the memoir's author, Susanna Kaysen, he seemed to kind of punch up her memoir for more of a, I guess, to make it more dramatic, to make the movie more palatable. What the effect of that was a really wonderfully acted portrayal of mental health in the 60s.
My number one did not win any Oscars. It's one of those that I adore for whatever reason. Another great cast. You're talking Johnny Lee Miller, Jesse Bradford, Matthew Lillard, Angelina Jolie in 1995's Hackers. Yes, it's terrible. Yes, it's stupid. Yes, it's ridiculous in every sense of the word. But I love Johnny Lee Miller, and this is his movie. It's what, Crash Zero, or whatever his name is. It's a hacking movie in the 90s that's trying to be futuristic. It's
when nobody knew what hacking was, yes, so you just were like, oh yeah, okay, that's plausible.
The summary of this movie on IMDb kind of sums up everything perfectly. This movie is about hackers who are blamed for making a virus that will capsize 5 oil tankers. This movie is about. I've never seen anything start like that.
No.
But it's stupid, it's silly, it's ridiculous. If you can just shut your brain off for a couple minutes and just let loose, it's worth a watch. Like, I think Johnny Lee Miller is so good. I'm not a Lillard fan, but this is perfect for him. It's ridiculous fun, and I don't think we've ever mentioned it on the show before, probably for good reason. But it's one of those that it's like, I can read a million think pieces about why Hackers is the worst movie ever. I'll still watch it if I ever see it on.
My number one is a movie that, you know, like you said, Beowulf may be a guilty pleasure for you. This one might be a guilty pleasure for me. The first time I saw it, I was like, wow, I really like this movie. And no expectation. I don't even know why the hell I watched it to begin with. But it's Kerry Conran's Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow from 2004, starring Sky Captain Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Angelina Jolie. I think I might feel the way about Sky Captain that Dave feels about The Rocketeer. I think each movie has this kind of throwback, pulpy charm about it. To me, there's something about seeing a World War II era fighter plane battle against a giant robot. It seems like it's just ripped right out of the pages of a 1940s comic book. You've got this Bondian villain in Dr. Totenkopf and his army of robot henchmen basically have a James Bond villain plot where they're going to steal this genetic material and start a new world of tomorrow in space, as well as end all life on Earth at the same time. As much as Indiana Jones is a globe-trotting movie, this one very much does too. It goes to Mount Everest. It's all in New York. It is all over the place. Maybe doesn't have as recognizable a hero as Raiders does, but I think Law's Sky Captain kind of has all the charisma and the ability to woo a lady, the eyepatch sporting Angelina Jolie included, that Indiana Jones has. I think what kind of keeps this movie from being appreciated for as good as it is that it seems like it's maybe a knockoff or like a lesser version of something like Indiana Jones or The Rocketeer or whatever you want to put it out there. But I think it's a really fun ride. The director, I think, has only got maybe two or three movies, and I think two of them are shorts other than Sky Captain, but I thought it was a really, really fun movie. Everybody, like I said, is playing something ripped right out of an old comic book. Angelina Jolie with an eye patch and her accent is maybe not wonderful, but it's a lot of fun. The movie's just fun.
I forgot this movie existed until going through this list, and for some reason, I don't know why, my instant reaction is I confuse this movie with Wing Commander. The Freddie Prinze
with Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, the Freddie Prinze Jr. movie. Yeah. Like, and I don't know why. I don't think I've seen it. I think I might enjoy it because I do like that pulpy, ridiculous stuff.
I think give it a try. Expect better than Wing Commander. I'll tell you that.
My number, or no, I have no more.
That was
numbers.
It.
I was
yeah.
number one. My also ran, the only one I have. Salt was enjoyable. Yeah. It's just her as a James Bond-esque figure. It's a standard spy movie, but because of her, it's a little better than you would expect. That sums up her career.
She was good and Gone in 60 Seconds. I liked her in that. I didn't have a ton of Angelina Jolie movies that I was like, man, I'm going to have to cut
There's
this
no
off
Jolie
the list.
No Jolie movie that I love other than Hackers.
And Sky Captain, which is not even really her movie. It's a Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow movie, but she's in it enough. She's the only one that has an eye patch in the movie.
Next week is a little different. We don't have anything going on.
We didn't have any ideas.
Yeah, we didn't have any ideas. And Jason West has been, we're going on 6 years in May. Jason West has been there from the beginning listening. So it's his birthday on 3-2-1. So we said, hey, pick an episode. So we're going to do our favorite John Cusack movies, which I think sums it up perfectly. I used to live with Jason West for about 4 years, and we watched many a Cusack movies just randomly. So we'll talk about Cusack's career and what went wrong and where it went wrong. That's one of those where the list isn't as long as I thought it would be, but the ones I love, I really, really love. So that's next week. Happy birthday, Jason West.
Preemptive
happy
birthday.
Favorite John Cusack movies. But until then,
keep it up.